On the one side, we'd all admit America 2016 troubles us greatly. On the other side, we'd also have to admit that we have gotten all too used to America 2016, the proverbial frog in the kettle. If you had seen how America behaved and what it believed and how its entire structure would be formulated in our day back 60 years ago, there would have been an absolute uproar across this country. But today we've just sort of sigh and that's the way it is. Well, it is true that we have to take the situation at hand and go forward by the grace of God. But the danger is that every one of us are all too used to it. And every so often, we need to get our eyeglasses on. We need to see things right. And we need to be encouraged that God is on the throne and that truth is truth and that God will enable us to live as we ought, but we need to know how we ought to live. I'm amazed how many believers have changed thinking and are not really biblical in their thinking because we have now had year after year of so many areas of life that are not biblical that we just see as typical parts of our lives. So we're going to be looking at our culture, our America, through the lens of Proverbs and looking at the different topics just to sharpen us back to 2020 vision. And I think it will be a help to all of us because we're seeing in churches across America things that we would have never dreamed accepted as okay, things that were preached strongly against just 30 years ago. Last week, and you can turn with me first to the introductory book. We will get to Proverbs today for a few minutes, but I'd like you to go with me to Titus chapter 2 again, if you would, tonight. Titus chapter 2, and we talked about the fact that culture is not neutral. Touched on it also this morning, love not the world. And in chapter 1 of Titus, very clearly, the Apostle Paul points out how wicked the Cretan culture was. And he had some pretty graphic terms in explaining their problems. And after he says that in chapter 1, he begins chapter 2 with, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." It is a responsibility of God's people and God's body, the church, to declare the truth and let it expose culture. It is not up to us to adapt to culture. Now, let me again say, there are neutral aspects of culture, but most of culture is arranged by Satan to keep us from the Lord, to pull at our flesh, to blind us to truth, and so we need to realize that when we allow ourselves to become acclimated to a satanic culture, we lose the power of God in our lives, our churches lose the salt and light that God has for them to be, and we begin to lose the power of God upon ministry. There is a Cameroonian culture, is there not, Glenn? Is that Cameroonian culture, does it have any problems? All right. Would it be okay if your church just adapted to it and you allowed drinking and, it'd be all right to have a couple wives and so forth. Would that be a good thing? That's talked about by churches there. Talked about, not the two wives, by churches here. See what I'm saying? You can go to Cameroon, you can go to Thailand, you can go to any culture in the world, and you're going to find Satan's fingerprints all over it. Now, we don't need to Americanize folks in different cultures, but we need to Christianize them, biblicize them, get them to be, by the grace of God, what they ought to be. And the term, it's a big old long term, I used it last week, it's called contextualization. This has been around since the 50s. And that is the idea that the church needs to adapt to culture so that it fits in and people feel comfortable in whatever culture within the church. Now, the church needs to be sharp. The church doesn't need to be counterculture unnecessarily on things that are neutral. I don't need to wear a skinny tie, you know, or whatever, because I'm trying to be old-fashioned. That'll come back. That was in for a while. It never really got there, though, did it? thankfully. But I threw away all my skinny ties a long time ago. I didn't want to buy any more. But you know what I'm saying. You don't want to be out of touch. On the other hand, folks, there is just some things that are wrong. And the church is to be an example of Christ. The church is to be the pillar and ground of truth. We need to be unashamed in the fact that we're all about rescue from this world. We are going to heaven. We're citizens of heaven. God's transformed us. He's gotten us over these fleshly habits. He's giving us victory. And so we need to be excited about a message that there is hope in this world. We don't need to be like the world. The world doesn't want us to be like them. They want to see that there is an answer in Jesus. And I wanted to just finish up after I had mentioned all of that. It was a quick little review from last week that in chapter 2 you have cut and right across culture for the men, aged men, aged women, young men, and it's right there, counterculture from a biblical standpoint to be godly. And then the encouraging thing that I did want to mention before we got to the book of Proverbs is found at the end of the chapter, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Whoa. Okay. Now we saw back in chapter 1, there's ungodly culture. But by the grace of God, verse 11, which we all can partake of as believers, we can have that gift of God's involvement with his supernatural power to enable us to do what we cannot do. That grace will cause us to be able in this present evil age to live out genuine Christianity. That's good news. By the way, that is the good news. Salvation isn't just salvation for eternity, it's salvation from the power of sin in our life. And in verse 12 there, it has that wonderful term, child training, teaching us. The grace of God will teach us, discipline us, instruct us, illumine us, give us power so that we can say no to. That's what the word deny says. We can say no to ungodliness and worldly lust. Notice those two terms. We can say no to an ungodly lifestyle that does not show reverence to God. And folks, much of secular lifestyle today does not show reverence to a holy God. And no matter what pressures are on you, by the grace of God, you can have the understanding, the ability, and balance to say no. I'm not going there. I'm not going to imbibe in it. I'm not going to be entertained by it. I'm not going to do anything that's disrespectful to my God. I'm not going to do anything that's going to hurt the testimony of my God. I'm going to not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. I am going to reverence my God. And that's an exciting thing. In the midst of this world, you can say no. And you can also have power over worldly lust, 1 John chapter 2, lust that desires that are part of this world as Satan draws and tempts us to be self-indulgent. We can say no to that. Folks, it's a glorious reality that Christians do not have to be bumped around all over by this culture. You say, but you know, it's bad in 2016. Paul wouldn't have any sympathy for us. It was just as bad then. And they didn't even have any Christian background. And look what happened. Godly, pure, powerful churches were formed in the first century in the Roman Greek culture. And churches can be formed in pagan America in 2016. They can be formed in godliness in the jungles of Akwaya or in the mega center of Nairobi. It doesn't matter where it is, God will do it. And then, the positive side, if we can have the power by the grace of God to live soberly, and that's to think right, sound mind, right choices, right habits, right wisdom, and that's going to go right into Proverbs here today. Righteously, we can live uprightly. We have the power to obey the glorious righteous law that has been given to us. and we can be godly. We can live in a way that honors the Lord. So I just wanted to finish out that passage that not only should we not be part of contextualizing with this culture, but God will give us the power to be able to do it and to love every minute of it. Okay? You know, Christians that just feel like, man, I'm missing everything. You know, oh, man, all the things to be a strong, separated Christian. I can't go here. I can't do that. I feel sorry for you. You ought to say, praise the Lord, I don't have to. Praise the Lord, I'm delivered from it. Praise the Lord, I am free to worship God. I'm able to have freedoms over the strongholds. Hallelujah! I can be a separated Christian, separated unto God from this wicked world. Oh, I tell you, get the liberation of grace. That's the whole point. All right, now we're going to go to the book of Proverbs, and we're going to just get started here tonight as we get our eyeglasses on biblically. And we're going to go, there's many things that we could start with. If I was Dr. Pardee, I would start with wisdom and knowledge and understanding and so forth, which I'm actually going to touch on tonight. But I'm going to be very practical here and get to the practicality of the reason we don't have wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. It's because we have the wrong stuff up here. You know, Proverbs really deals with this. We live in a day in which people live private lives in their minds. And you notice one of the things that we saw there in Titus chapter 2 was to live soberly, sound thinking. We are what we think. And so I thought this would just show you how practical the book of Proverbs is, as primarily it was written through the inspiration of God through Solomon, and I will talk about some of the other things when we have time. But here we have God giving us very detailed wisdom and the way to appropriately look at culture. One of the things that culture has been orchestrated to do by Satan is to get us off track up here. So first of all, folks, we got to understand that our thought life governs our life. And we must, by the grace of God, be transformed by the renewing of our mind, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. A Christian who is spirit-filled is not dominated by wrong thinking. Now, your thoughts tell you what you really are. I'll have you turn to some of these. In fact, get to Proverbs. Can you move fast? I won't do a, what do you call those things? Sword drill. I haven't done that for years. Can you do that on computer? Anyway, we'll do a sword drill here and see how fast you can get to some of these. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 5. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. So if you are saved and living through the power of the grace of God, as mentioned in Titus chapter 2, your thoughts are going to be according to righteousness. But if you are not living in victory, you are going to have deceitful thoughts. Can you think of another word attached to Satan that talks about deceit? Wiles of the devil. Wrong thinking. He loves to get us into improper thinking about key things in our life. Now, why is that important? Go to chapter 23. Chapter 23, verse 7. But as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. And of course, we have the other place, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, we have in the New Testament. So, if your thoughts are not righteous, if they're not wholesome, if they're not truthful, if Satan has sold you on wiles or it's just purely wrong thinking, then that thinking that you're allowing to have in your mind on a regular basis says, what about us? So is he. Folks, do not fall into the trap of thinking that just good actions are pleasing to God. You can have outward conformity, but as the Lord Jesus said, it comes out of the heart. That's why, folks, this enormous bombardment of things from technology and other sources that are constantly coming into our thought patterns are changing who we are and will change your behavior, I promise. You won't be able to just keep that in the way it is. You've got to be very careful. And by the way, if you're going to read things that are error, you better know you're reading error. You need to make sure someone knows you're reading error because you're trying to master that. But most of the time, it's better not to do that. It's important when you go to a Christian bookstore, you better know what you're getting. You know, blog sites are not neutral. You can actually get very hurt by allowing yourself to consider things that are skewed when it comes to clarity according to the Word of God. And then, of course, hearing things and thinking things about other people because you are on social media that you have no business knowing about or thinking about or meditating on. And then, as we often deal with, allowing wrong thinking to come in through wrong and unwholesome, secularized view of life called entertainment. If you are pondering these things, if you are thinking these things, what does the book of Proverbs say? So are you. Now, just to show you how up-to-date this is. America thinks this way, right? They're bombarded with regular programming and all the other things that I mentioned. Can we honestly say America is not only wrong thinking, but wrong actions? Is all the things that are coming into Americans' lives, is it affecting them, their belief system? Can you believe just their whole approach to life and what they want and the things they're overlooking today? You know, things in governmental leaders and things that we would not have put up with 30 years ago. Why? In our heart. So this is right on target. I mean, this is like it's written in 2016. I mean, it's right there. Chapter 12, verse 20, deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. But to the counselors of peace is joy. And so when the heart is thinking evil, then there's going to be deceit and there's going to be the kind of thinking that is going to be the opposite of godly lifestyle and the right kind of perspective. Now, it says what you really are. You know, your thought life is who you really are. You know, oftentimes you'll hear speakers say, what would it be like if your thoughts were projected up over the last few hours? And of course, no one would really want that. But I'm telling you, if you really wouldn't want it, there's something wrong. Because that means that the real you is really imbibing in that which is flesh. And what's even more scary, according to the book of Proverbs, wrong thinking determines the direction and outcome of your life, or right thinking does, either way. A very familiar verse, Proverbs 4, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Verse 26, just three verses down there from verse 23. Ponder the path of thy feet and let thy ways be established. In other words, right thinking about your paths, the steps of faith or lack of faith that you take are going to either establish your way or it's going to fix it in the wrong direction. I'll tell you, folks, if we have the thought, you know, we have an aura of wrong media choices and we're thinking about things we've heard on social media or we've read some things that cause us to question things and our thoughts are just not really what they ought to be or for other reasons we're just not allowing ourselves to have victory, let me ask you, will you make the decision to meet with God tomorrow morning? You might have a habit, but you're not going to meet with God. What's going to happen then is you're going to have a day that is going to not be in the will of God. Choices are not going to be made by the Spirit of God. And if that continues on day after day, your way is going to be established the wrong direction. So you cannot afford, folks, every day ought to be a day of blessed fellowship with God, thinking on wholesome, right things, as Philippians 4:8 says. And that's why you have got to guard your ear gate and eye gate with everything in you to make sure that you are feeding your mind and heart with that which is wholesome and right and edifying and good. And I'm telling you, you can have regular victory. The thought life in this wicked day can be powerfully good. And I tell you, do not think that it's inevitable for there to be a bad thought life. That is a lie of the devil. Sure, there are temptations around, but my friend, people that walk with God can have victory. And it makes a difference in your life. It makes a difference with your children. It makes a difference in every relationship that you have. And don't excuse it. It's just normal. The Bible says the direction of your life, the paths that you take, who you really are, is determined by how much is going on in that mind. It's up to date, isn't it? Chapter 14, verse 22. Do they not err that devise evil? But mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. Oh, it's tragic, the error that comes. Now, in Proverbs, we do see that God really does care about your thoughts. He knows them. That's why I love to go over the attributes of God in the praise time of prayer, because it reminds you God is all-knowing. He is omnipresent. That ought not be a problem to you. That ought to be a great comfort. Aren't you glad he knows everything? Aren't you glad he's in control? And frankly, I'm glad he knows my heart, because he knows every aspect of me, and I want him to know that, and I want him to continue to work and cleanse and direct and guide and transform. That ought not bother you that God knows, but I tell you, on the other side, it ought to bother you. God on the throne right now knows what you're thinking. He knows how you're responding right now. He knows the pictures within your mind. He knows the hard attitude that is reflected in the thoughts that you've had. He knows the uprisings in your soul. You can't get away with that. He knows it. Chapter 15, verse 11. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more than the heart of the children of men? He knows everything. He knows all the destruction. He knows everything. He knows the hearts of the children of men. Chapter 21, verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart, that inner thought pattern. It's important to him. He ponders it. The real you is what you're thinking. What's going to happen in your life, your relationship to him, is all about whether or not he can control by the Spirit of God your thinking, and that it is saturated with truth, or whether you're going to be thinking according to the typical fleshly way that is caused by Satan's pull on us in the world. The Lord ponders the hearts. Let me ask you right now, is he troubled by your thought life? Or is your thought life directed to him? No one's thought life is perfect here, but my friend, the Spirit of God can give full control. That's why, folks, you got to spend some major time in prayer. You got to saturate yourself in the Word. You're wise here tonight. I commend you here on a Memorial Day weekend. You're under the Word. You're doing the right thing. And we need to be pondering the Word, loving truth, loving his thoughts, shunning those things, saying no to, by the grace of God, things that we ought not watch, we ought not read, we ought not hear, we ought not be involved in. There's no excuse for that. There's never any right to observe sin and be involved in it. Chapter 20, verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. It lights up who you are. and God knows it. Friend, don't think you can fool God. You remember, the trumpet could sound today, you're going to stand right in front of him. He's going to know who you really are, who you really are. It's important. Don't be something inside and something outside. Certainly live right outwardly, but it ought to come from an inward, real walk with God. This is really important. We need to say no to. He hates evil thoughts. It's chapter 6, verse 16, well-known verses here. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him, down to verse 18, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. And then it goes from there, feet that be swift in running to mischief. Chapter 15, verse 26, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. And so he hates the very thought of sin. And so, folks, we need to realize that it is God's will for us to understand whenever culture gets us into a place in which we're going to be dominated right by wrong thoughts, we got to make a choice. I'm not going there. You know, things I used to do when I was younger, I don't do now. Culture's changed. There are things I don't see, things, places I won't go, because I don't want Satan to be able to cause evil thoughts to be in my mind. I got to be careful what I read. You need to be careful what you view. We need to be careful who we talk to. We need to be careful what we view on all this interchange of personal information. Thoughts. It does matter. Oh, nobody knows. You know, it's interesting today. In social media, everybody puts their thoughts right down. So the world knows. I can't quite understand that. They somehow think only people that love them know. You know, it gets everywhere, you know. But even if you don't write it down, God knows. And it's affecting you. Those thoughts are affecting you. That bad attitude, that uprising in your heart, those wicked thoughts, those covetous thoughts, mulling over entertainment that you had no business watching, it's changing you. It's got to be rejected, it's got to be confessed, and you need to make decisions to fill your mind and heart with that which pleases the Lord. You say, Pastor, that's counterculture. Exactly. Exactly. Christians in every age, though, have had to make that decision. I tell you, folks, your mind is your greatest asset. It's amazing what can be developed in your mind. Protect it, use it properly, let God control it. And let the issues of your very heart cause you to be a man or woman that reflect the glory of God. Now, folks, the world can't make us think wrong thoughts. But we can be pulled by the world to think those are things we need to be involved in. So I want to encourage you, make the choices. Even though no one may know, a lot of times they do, that they may not know what's going on up here. God does. You do. Keep the theater of your mind pure. Keep the thoughts about God and truth right. Keep your thoughts about other people biblical. And you'll be a blessed man or woman by the grace of God. Let's bow for prayer. So we bow before the Lord, a very practical message tonight, but this is, as we look through the lens of Proverbs, oh, do we see the dangers of our day. If ever Proverbs was needed for what we're facing, it is today. You're a believer here this evening, but you'd say, Pastor, I need to make choices to protect my thinking, what I'm reading, what I'm doing, what I'm imbibing in, where I'm going, choices I make of what I watch. I mean, there is a myriad of things. And it could just be in general. I see it. Who I really am is what I'm thinking. The direction I'm really going to take is going to be based on what I'm thinking. And I want to guard my eye gate, ear gate. I want to make sure that what I ponder is right. I want to be memorizing and meditating on the Word of God and knowing my God and approaching things in a biblical manner and having the right kind of thinking. And I want to say no to these other things. And maybe the Lord put his finger on some very specific things here tonight. He's always able to do that. And you say, Pastor, I really want the most wholesome thinking possible. By the way, good music helps you. Wrong music, I didn't even mention that, will bring your thought life down fast. Good music will bring it to where it ought to be. But you'd say, Pastor, I'm going to make, by God's grace, the choices to protect because my mind is too valuable. The Holy Spirit indwells me. I do not want my life to be hurt by the wiles of the devil and by the pull of the world. And so I'm asking him to give me grace, to give me instruction, but I'm serious about protecting my mind. Would you pray for me tonight? With heads bowed, would you just slip your hand up if you're just very definite? I am going to make the extra steps. I'm just going to value my mind. And all of us are facing that. But you can, by the grace of God, have victory. That's wonderful. Many, many hands. Anyone else, you say, I need to raise my hand just to be honest about this. God bless you. All right, I'm going to make the right decisions. Maybe here and what you think about God is who you are. Is he your Savior? Do you know him? Have you trusted him alone? You're here and you say, Pastor, God is distant to me. I'm not certain if I were to die, I'd go to heaven. And I know God has me here tonight. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Join these others. Just slip your hand up. It'd be a joy to pray for you here tonight. Anyone at all. Lord Jesus, we do thank you for the provision of the cross. Spirit of God, we thank you for the power that's in us. Thank you for the grace that is available. Now, Lord, I pray that every person here will see the great potential of glorious victory, that the mind can be sound, sober by the grace of God. And we can say no to things that are not right. We can deal with the issues of our heart. Lord, we have to be honest. We have to confess what is wrong. We have to make provision to do what's right by putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, would these truths become very real, especially to these that raise the hand? Would you give very sweet and very definite victory? And Lord, what you would have done even in this invitation, would it be accomplished for your glory? Those that need to come to you as Savior, would you change their thinking, I pray, in your wonderful name. Amen.